You are listening to episode number 63 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. After a two-week hiatus, I hope you had a wonderful Easter, but we are back once again. This is episode number 63 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. Sadly, we are not yet back at full strength, but joining in to fill us, to fill one of our slots, you know him as WS on the GreenLanternCorps.com or on GL Corecast, but of course, his name, others know him as Brandon. Brandon, welcome back to the Warriors 3.
Good to be here. Thank you.
You can tell he totally wants. He totally doesn't want to be here right now. And of course, joining us, the still yet not caught New York serial killer, allegedly, Taser. Taser, welcome back to the show.
Yes, Gemra John, it is true. What I put in that thread is exactly what us New Yorkers do. Go New Yorkers!
All right. and for whatever reason, despite that they got bounced by Boston playoffs.
Yeah, the Knicks suck.
So do my Spurs, them. Whatever.
Freaking sweat. Douches!
The Knicks suck, dude. They haven't been good for years.
Yeah, you don't hear me talking about
1999.
I give them credit, though. They hadn't been to the playoffs in years. They got there. They got their ass spanked, but they got there. So
like the Knicks would what I be called a mentally retarded child, and then they sucked so bad.
Really, what word would you use to describe said child?
In that they sucked for years, and a little bit of an ass kicking to that kid, and boom, they're right back. This is why I won't be able to work in radio unless I go the Howard Stern route. But just in case, diverging from the basketball talk, just in case this is your first time listening to us, we are the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. We are a podcast dedicated to all things Marvel, which includes comics, video games, toys, and the latest things, MMOs. So we'll get back to that. We'll get to that later.
Yeah, but let's get retarded. Woo!
To kick it off, we only have a short bit of news this week because we got a lot of books to talk about. Apparently, if you're a subscriber of Netflix, the best way to rent a DVD or stream a movie on your laptop or your PlayStation 3, well, not right now because PSN is down right now, but apparently certain Marvel cartoons are available upon Netflix streaming, which basically means if you don't have Netflix, it says in the title, you can watch it off your computer without having to wait 2 or 3 days for the DVD to come in, although you can still do that, I think. The cartoons listed as of right now are The Incredible Hulk, the 1996-1997 short-lived series, Spider-Man Unlimited, God, why that one, Iron Man Extremis, the motion comic, Astonishing X-Men Gifted, again, the motion comic, Spider-Man Woman motion comic, Fantastic Four, World's Greatest Heroes, a.k.a. the worst incarnation of the Fantastic Four yet, Silver Surfer from 1998, the Black Panther motion comic, and Iron Man Armored Adventures Season 1, where Tony Stark is Peter Parkerized, as I like to say. Now, obviously, the two big... Before we get into things... Let's go. What do y'all think about this list that they've announced? Obviously, hopefully they'll put more out there. Taser, what do you think of this stream? What do you think of this?
I gotta say it. I was a big fan of Iron Man Armored Adventures. I liked it. Yeah, it was cheesy. It was Teen Tony. Eye roll. But it was fun. It wasn't necessarily the most serious version of him. It had some decent action. It actually got serious, but overall...
Is it canceled? Canceled?
No, I heard they were doing a season 2,
actually.
Huh. It's been a while, but, the same thing with Chaotic. Season 4 is coming on that, but exactly when, who knows.
I'm still waiting on the reboot, damn it.
Yay. Same thing with Black Panther, I had fun with it. It wasn't the greatest thing ever. It tickled me to watch T'Challa's father kick the shit out of Captain America. Because I didn't read the comic. I know it was done in the comic, but I didn't read it. To see it animated, that was interesting, to say the least. I haven't looked at Spider-Woman yet, so I couldn't give any opinion to that. Most of the stuff that you listed off, I've watched. Well, at least a good chunk of it I've watched. I have fun with. So
you tell me you didn't actually like the Spider-Man Unlimited shit.
Spider-Man Unlimited. No, I was not a fan of that.
Oh,
when it
God,
came it's... on Fox, I left it alone. You know, I was kind of tired of X-Men animation at that point.
it got really shitty at the end.
Well, yeah, and I think they kind of, I think that was supposed to be a direct sequel from the '90s Spider-Man tune, but I didn't really like how they pulled that off. The story was interesting. You know, him actually being over there in, what was it, High Evolutionary's Overworld or whatever.
I can't remember. I just remember
like that.
Bad costumes that cool. And Venom and Carnage. That's it.
You know, but I like that whole. He's the lone hero in this whole world where, you know, humans are, you know, third-class citizens, blah, blah, blah. But it was a novel premise, but it wasn't a show I could really get into. So if you're a fan, though, if you're just a Spider-Man junkie, or if you actually remember the show and you liked it, at least now this is available to you, because I don't know if it's actually available on DVD yet. I'd be surprised.
It's not. Like, you can find
then, hey,
it. Like,
it's right here. You know, then you get yourself a fix.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's always good.
If you like crappy cartoon shows, but I'm pretty sure Brandon's a secret fan of it. But, Brandon, what do you think of this list that's now streaming on Netflix?
The list kind of bores me. I'm not really interested in watching any of those, especially the motion comics, which I heard were just awful stuff.
Spider-Man was damn good, and so was Iron Man. Black Panther, not so much.
Yeah, well, the list doesn't pull me in, but I do think it's a genius move. Like, Netflix is probably, like, they kill Blockbuster, period. So, I mean, between that and Redbox, it's just a great step forward for Marvel. I wish the Distinguished Competition would, you know, follow in their footsteps with this. Because I think it's a really good move, and I think if they continue to add on it, and quickly, because this lineup is garbage, if they continue to add on it, then it's a great move.
Yeah, I mean, that's the great thing. Marvel, you know, as you mentioned, the Distinguished Competition, at least within the past 10 years, doesn't really have that outside marketing push. Like, it doesn't seem to me that they know how to push something to people outside the direct market of comics, whereas Marvel, at least recently, has been great at getting, it wasn't comics, but people knowing about the motion comics, people knowing about these cartoons that are out there, you know. But since you mentioned that this is boring, obviously there's some glaring, you know, holes that are missing, you know.
I'll say this. I think if they really want to go big with this, I think they should start releasing a lot of the older stuff, like maybe the 60s Spider-Man, maybe those old 60s.
Yes. I wasn't even going to mention those.
You know, or maybe that season of Spider-Man before it became His Amazing Friends, because not too many people remember that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
That would be interesting to see.
Yeah, you know, or the two, I mean, I'm pretty sure Brandon alluded to this off show, but like the big two glaring ones that aren't there, the two arguably most popular ones, that I remember watching in the youth is X-Men the Animated Series and Spider-Man the Animated Series. Granted, you know, looking back, animation-wise wasn't great, but at the same time, it drew a lot of people in.
Yeah.
And those, you know, obviously there has to be some legal litigation with that. But another glaring Spider-Man one, or several X-Men Spider-Man ones, is there's no Wolverine in the X-Men, despite that it was one season. It was a damn good one season. Or the Spider-Man MTV show.
Or Evolution.
Or even Evolution, which has its merits, which a lot of people
Spider-Man
like.
Evolution?
No, X-Men Evolution.
Oh, okay. All right.
But
better yet, Spectacular Spider-Man.
Yes, that's another one.
I cannot, for the life of me, It has to be something to do with Warner Brothers, because that show was popular, it had buzz, and it only got two seasons. Like, what the hell went on?
Yeah, and yeah, and it, trust me, it disappoints me so much. And we still haven't gotten the collection of season two. But anyways, like, even in those, you know, those are obvious X-Men, Spider-Man. People know who those characters are. Howard, I'm pretty sure they're going to be adding them. But, I mean, if you're going to do something like this, Netflix is so well known now. It's, you know, I'll just Netflix it. It's you got to put your big guns out there. You know, Silver Surfer is cool. Hulk, people know Hulk. But, again, that short-lived series isn't the best reflection of the Hulk.
I would do the 80s version myself, personally, yeah. Because that was fun. That was a big rage. He screamed, tossed tanks, and that was cheese. Sunbow Marvel combination. That was just awesome. Same studio that did G.I. Joe and Transformers animation. Sunbow could do no wrong in the 80s, man. I tell you.
Yeah. So there's obviously some changes. I mean, some things missing, but hopefully, because I'm pretty sure you can get the X-Men 90s series on DVD through Netflix. Spidey, I don't know, have they collected? I don't even know if they've done a DVD collection of the 90s Spider-Man cartoon, which is kind of shocking if you think about it. Maybe it's a legal thing that Brandon alluded to, that the reason they haven't done it, but, I mean, there's an X-Men DVD out there. But who knows? So, Taser, do you have any other, I guess, Marvel cartoons that you would like to see put in Netflix streaming, or, you know, that allows people more, to see these? Any hidden gems that we should be aware of?
I would say 60s Fantastic Four, you know, because that was actually a lot of fun, even if the Hanna-Barbera had, like, coloring issues, which for the life
is
of
that
me,
the I've one where Herbie the Robot was replaced with...
No, that was the 70s show.
Okay.
The I'm talking about the 60s show, where it actually had all four. Herbie the Robot, I would actually put that series on too, because I feel that every generation should be punished like I was and had to watch that. And I would also put out that Hanna-Barbera Thing show, where it was young Benji Grimm, and he changed by means of a thing ring that was in two parts, and he had to slam them together.
Really?
Holy crap, was that horrible.
That sounds so cheesy.
Yeah, it's horrible. As a kid, I watched it because it was a cartoon and it was Thing. I recognized him. But I can go back and watch 60s Spider-Man. I can go back and watch 60s Fantastic Four.
What about 60s Captain America?
No, and the reason Cap why
throws his mighty
I would
shield.
Recommend those. Yeah, well, Captain America throws his mighty. That had an excellent opening song. I mean, that made you stand up and just puff out your chest. But the way the animation moved in that was just like the motion comics, in that it was like they moved the characters without animating them. So Cap would move across the screen and then land flat. When you watch it, it's like, oh my God. What happened here? But for pure cheese factor, and you got Thor, you had... I don't remember Thor's opener. I remember Tony Stark's. Tony Stark's is pretty good.
Tony Stark.
Submariner.
Exactly.
Submariner and Hulk. I would eventually get all of them on there, because there's a lot of fun. And you know what? Why not? I say Men in Black.
Was that a Marvel property?
Yeah, Men in Black actually was a Marvel property, because they were owned by Malibu. And Marvel bought Malibu. Along with that, see, now I'm on a roll. I would also get Ultra Force.
Interesting.
Because Marvel owned that company.
You know what?
Ultra Force had a cartoon in the 90s, and not many people remember that.
You know, I'm glad they didn't put the Avengers 1999 cartoon.
Oh, God, no. No, thank God they didn't put that one. Cyberize. Oh!
That's Rob Liefeld designing costumes. But, you know, Brandon, you've been quiet. Any other, I guess, cartoons that you saw... or even that you would like to see on Marvel Netflix streaming?
No, I think we mentioned them all. I'm more likely to stream the X-Men, the old X-Men 90s cartoon, than I am to go run out and buy the DVD. So if they put that out there, I'm right there. I'm watching it every day until it's over. Like y'all said, Spectacular Spider-Man. I'm I'm so disappointed they canceled that show, because I just got into it when they announced it. So, yeah, between those two shows, that's all I really cared about.
Oh, now, you know what else I would do?
What?
You know what else I would do, even though they're on the Hub now? Classic Transformers and classic G.I. Joe.
Hmm.
Boom.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
They were Marvel properties back then.
One last quick thing before we move on to our next to last news topic. Would you want to see the Marvel direct-to-DVDs be put on streaming? Like Hulk versus Planet Hulk?
Yeah, why not?
I can't think of any. Doctor Strange, Invincible Iron Man.
The Ultimate
Avengers. Ultimate Avengers.
Yeah, I'm all for that.
You know.
I enjoyed those. Those were a lot of fun.
I hated I think it's a smart move to do.
Okay, yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah.
I mean, they weren't great, but, you know, Doctor Strange was badass.
I didn't even know he had one.
He had one.
Yeah, it was a different take, and that Doctor Strange really did kick ass. You know, Iron Man was good, too.
Although it was a little weird timing, because it was right when the movie was coming out, and it was basically the origin story.
Yeah, well, what else did you think it was
going to be? Well, I know we're going off topic, but, I mean, look at the Distinguished Competition is putting out Emerald Knights, and that's not, I mean, despite we already got First Flight and everything, they're not, the smart thing would be to do is to not do an origin story, but to do sort of a classic Iron Man-esque story, like Armor Wars,
okay.
You know, versus the people who are going to buy Iron Man are going to see the origin, and they're going to see a much more better done origin, and, you know what I mean?
Well, no, they're just going to see one that's been more modernized, not necessarily better.
That's
but
true.
But if you know what? If they want to do an Iron Man story, and they don't, I guess Armor Wars 1 and 2 would be, yeah, that's something you could look at immediately and go, hey, look, Iron Man story. I would do something that dealt with his alcoholism. Make it
the
like,
demon in the bottle stuff?
Yes.
That'd be interesting.
That would be fun. That would be fun.
You can show drinking in a PG-13. You know?
Why not?
I mean, you can
in
do
PG-13,
it.
People drink beer.
He's not killing anybody.
Exactly. But can you imagine him drunk in the armor?
It'd be fun.
Woohoo!
Because I was, real quick before we move on, I know we're going a little long, but who cares? I saw one panel, I was flipping through it in my LCS, and there's one panel where he puts on the armor, flies through a window, and he says, I guess I should open that window, and he's drunk off his ass. It's hilarious.
Nice.
So let's move on to the, I guess, big announcement. As we know, again, the Distinguished Competition several years ago said they were going to do an MMO, and due to several delays and Jim Lee playing World of Warcraft, we finally got it. Now it turns out Marvel is somewhat firing back. Marvel announced that we will be getting an MMO pretty soon, which is going to be written by Marvel's lead writer. I guess you would call him the lead writer.
Bendis,
Brian Michael Bendis, who I guess Taser kind of wants to strangle a little bit. Don't you want to strangle Bendis?
Kinda. Not a whole lot. Not like Lee. Lee, I want to strangle. Bendis, maybe slap.
But Bendis will be the lead writer, so he's going to be writing. Players, I don't know how they're going to fucking do this. It seems so weird for them to do this. Players will be able to play as Captain America, Thor, and even Squirrel Girl if they really wanted to. As of right now, which, again, this is all could change, it's going to be only on the PC, so no word on the PS3 or anything, any other system. So right now, PC only. The main villain would be Dr. Doom, of course. You gotta go with Dr. Doom.
Oh, that sucks. Why not Galactus? Or Thanos. Boom, Thanos.
Well, it's an MMO, so he could be for now, but you know what I mean? They could always bring in Thanos if they wanted to. But might as well launch it with a well-known guy like Doom. The game will allow users to create their own continuity. It's the ultimate, and Benda said it's the ultimate answer to internet message boards. So, and there will be some of the cooler things. They're going to be pulling stuff from canon, from different storylines, from all the way from the early 60s to now, to recent stuff like Siege or Secret Invasion. Plus, the one everybody apparently is excited about, it's going to be free to play.
Hold on, question. Are you sure we can play as Thor and Spider-Man?
That's what they're saying. That's what they're saying.
I just heard a demo confirmed in-game, not that you can play as them.
Well, I've heard that it said character players will be able to play as Cap, Thor, Spidey, Wolverine, or even Squirrel Girl or Deadpool or whoever. So before we get into any kind of discussion, Brandon, do you play the DCU online MMO thing?
I have played it, but I'm not hardcore with it. A friend of mine has it, and when I go over there, I usually play it.
All right, so, I mean, obviously, I don't know if this is sort of, because DC had this MMO thing for years, so I don't necessarily think this is a counter attack to it.
Yeah, it is.
But it kind of is, and it kind of already one-ups it, but the fact that people wanted to play as Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, or at least be somewhat close to them, I guess? I don't know.
I think people gave up that idea, and they looked at the logistics and said, we don't really want to see 10,000 Superman and 11,000 Batman running around in the same area. And then people just said, all right, I'll just create my own person. I'll be fine with that. But and that's my only problem with this is I just can't fathom how they can make 10,000 Captain Americas and Spider-Man running around in the same area work and just not be frustrated with that. Because to me, seeing another Captain America out there just takes away from me being Captain America.
Yeah, I can see that. I don't know. That's the bigger reason I have. I mean, I would love to play as the icons of Marvel. Omega Red.
So would you and millions of other people.
But let's go to Taser before we move on anything further. Taser, what are your thoughts, initial thoughts on all this?
I remember back when City Heroes first came out, because I did the beta on that, and due to the varied power sets and abilities that they were given, one of the first things you saw was, like, a shitload of Wolverines popping up. You know, I mean, you had healing, you had super healing ability, and one of the attack power sets was claws. Wow. Whoa, I didn't see that coming.
Hair? Did they give them the cool
hair? They didn't have the hair, but you actually had a mask that was kind of similar.
Okay, that's obvious.
And you could do the stripes. Because they gave you so many options that you could choose from in regards to color, height, your face, and your costume. Yeah, there were Wolverine clones all over the place.
Was there a 7-foot-tall Wolverine or like a 500-foot-tall Wolverine?
No, well, I'd say the tallest you could get, well, let's say about 6'5".
Really?
You know, but you could go from 6'5", and then make somebody who's maybe about 2.5 feet tall. You could really change the height on that. But along with that, you had people who really tried to mimic whatever hero they wanted. You know, I saw the New Mutants. You know, I swear to God, Power Rangers, or like something close to like the original stuff, like Bioman. You had close Bizarro clones. You know, I mean, people really did good jobs. You can make they had a big, muscular model type. Paint him green, give him shorts. Oh, look, I wonder who that is. So I remember when that game went live, and about maybe 2 months afterward, City Heroes and Cryptic Studios, they got hit with like a cease and desist because there was so many people running around in like licensed characters. And part of it had to do with supposedly them wanting to come up and do their own MMO, and that was in litigation for a while. It got settled out of court. Well, I believe it got settled out of court. I could be foggy on that. And talk of Marvel's MMO plans died. You know, as soon as shit got settled with them, Marvel just backed off and went doo-doo-doo-doo. So to hear this news doesn't really surprise me, because DC's got one out, you know, and they kind of need, you know, they're both playing a game now. You know, let's keep our presence known in all these various different media types. So Marvel.
Yeah, but I don't think Marvel has that problem. I think Marvel, I honestly think Superman, Batman, while they are well known, even lesser known characters now by Marvel are starting to get names, you know, starting to become household names. Well, Iron Man, like Thor's.
I don't think Thor's
getting there.
And Iron Man, you know, I think those guys are I think those guys are known. You know, if we're talking like Wasp, yeah, I could see that. But Thor, Iron Man, Spider-Man, and Hulk, that and Captain America, that's the Pentagon right there of Marvel Comics. You know? So I think that DC did. I don't know. I don't even really know how that game is doing. You know.
Somebody give us the numbers on that.
Yeah, but I, you know, you look at the boards and people are enjoying it and they're playing it. Aside from one person who said, yeah, they played it and they stopped because there was nothing else out, you know, to do on the in the game. That Marvel's doing this doesn't surprise me at all. You know, not at all. I am looking forward to it because it's free to play and I don't feel like paying fucking $15 a month for anything.
Yeah, that's a big, big, okay, big thing.
That's the one that I want to veer the conversation to next. Now, obviously, the free-to-play is the huge thing that everybody wants to focus on, despite the fact that you can play a Squirrel Girl or Omega Red, damn it. now, obviously, we've just gone through a situation with the with PlayStation Network where it's free to get on the PlayStation Network, and it was hacked by you know, by assholes. Now, versus Taser, who you own an Xbox, where it's a service. You pay to go onto Xbox Live, right? And it's a much more secure server. Now, that's the one thing I worry about is the whole security thing. I mean, who knows what kind of available options you're going to put on there? Who knows if you're going to have to purchase items? Because it says free to play, but that doesn't mean they can charge. They don't. I mean, somebody joked on Twitter that, yeah, you can play Squirrel Girl and Omega Red for free, but you have to pay $1.99 to play Wolverine.
That's not surprising because Dungeons & Dragons is free to play as well as Lord of the Rings. Lord of the Rings actually was both of those were actually pay-to-play for a while, and then they went free-to-play. But if you wanted to play, like, the monk in Dungeons & Dragons, you had to pay for that. Certain items. And
yeah, see, so I think that's... I think
they have things that you have to pay for.
Yeah. But you wouldn't be paying a monthly subscription. I think that's the hook.
They moved to that, you know, and... Well, they moved away from that. All I can say is I hope it doesn't come out as arcadey as Dungeons and Dragons and I gotta say it, freaking DC Online did, because DC Online turned me off when I played the demo. It was a controller game. I was disappointed. I was looking for something a little more rich and something that didn't.
And you can only go to Gotham and Metropolis, am I right?
No, I think you can go more places, but I'm talking about how the front end of the game looked. It looked way too cartoonish. And I know we're talking about comic superheroes, but
Ultimate Alliance 2 had better graphics.
Never played it. Can't argue.
Well, I looked at things and I'm like, you know, if you're going to go with that direction, this is what I think.
Yeah, but see, like I said, the problem was because the game was geared towards also a controller network, you know, the PSN, then that kind of dictated exactly what you were going to get. And that's another reason why I didn't jump into DC Online when it became available. But this, if it stays PC, and, you know, and it's got a little bit of the mature, less ridiculous front end, you know, as opposed to DCUO, I'm going to give it a try anyway because it's free to play. But, you know, hey. But whether I stay with it, that's another thing entirely.
All right.
And we're still like at least 2 years away.
Oh, definitely. Nothing. We're not going to see anything, you know. I wonder who they're
How long were we waiting for DC?
Four years? Like 3 or 4 years, I think. Oh. Thoughts? Wes, any last thoughts?
No, I completely agree with Taser, except for the PC part. I'm definitely not going to play it on PC. If it doesn't expand the PlayStation or the Wii or Xbox, I won't be playing it. My computer's crap. Wii too.
Question: Why wouldn't you play it on PC?
Oh, I mean, if I was capable, my computer sucks. So if I had a better computer, I would. But no, my computer sucks.
All right. Well, there you go. We eagerly. I've never played MMOs, but the fact that you tell me I can play as Omega Red.
Virgin.
Fuck yeah, man. You would be retarded to not play as Omega Red. so let's move on to our book of the week. which this guy has a movie coming out this this Thursday night.
Green Lantern!
Who again?
Captain America!
The Mighty Thor number one, written by Matt Fraction, art by Olivier Coipel. That's how you pronounce his name, Olivier Coipel. He's French. This is the relaunch of the Thor book. I have to say, I was really digging this issue. Olivier Coipel drew the Thor when they relaunched Thor back in 2007, and after looking side by side at the issues, this one really played. Not to say JMS didn't, and if JMS had a certain thing he needed to do, this one really played to Olivier Coipel's strengths and what he likes to do as an artist. You know, the super detail lines, and, you know, I loved his details on the Asgardian scuba gear, as I'm going to call it.
Was pretty cool.
I thought that was a cool idea. You know, and normally we don't talk about colors, but Laura Martin, Justin Ponser, I didn't even know there was multiple colors until people told me. But the use of color when they're underwater, I guess, or whatever it is, really in the World Tree, it was such a unique visual. Like, you don't see stuff like that a lot. You know, I'm not even talking about the story, but, you know, the sequences with the preacher talking about, well, let's talk about the end of the world, and you then that leads to the devourer of worlds, Galactus, and, you know, asks the question in the Marvel Universe, how do you believe in the G-Man when you literally got fucking Thor, the god of thunder, and Odin, the Allfather, right next door, and Hercules is running around, and Roman gods are running around, you know, and it was actually really good, you know, not only did you have great sequences, great action sequences, but you also had food for thought. You know, which is a smart thing to do, and I love how they bookended it with the preacher segments, which is really nice. And, you know, person in Marvel Universe believing in Jesus Christ, that's something you would ask. Now, normally, and I kind of wish this came out the week of Thor, the movie, but it didn't. So it's hard. Like, I'm interested to see how people react to this comic versus the movie, because I haven't seen the movie yet. I know people have. Because the Europeans have seen it.
Europeans.
You know, because I read recently Invincible Iron Man number one, and, you know, Iron Man the movie is playing on my TV right now, and you can totally get into it. So I'm interested to see that once I see Thor this Saturday. But I give it 5 out of 5. Play to Olivier Coipel's strengths as an artist. Matt Fraction played to his strengths as a writer. You know, not only delivering some asking interesting questions, but allowing Olivier Coipel to tell a story. Plus, you got to see Sif naked, so that was nice. Let's go to the biggest Thor fan that I know, Taser. What did you think of the Mighty Thor number one?
Tasty and sweet. I have to mirror everything that you've said about this book. I was caught up in the colors. I damn it. When they were in that scuba gear down amongst the roots of the World Tree, and they were, you know, to go back a bit, back in the day when they used to show Asgard, they actually used to show Asgard having some bit of technology to, like, you know, various war machines and certain other devices, and in the pits of Castle, you know, where Odin was, Castle Odin, whatever the fuck. That you would actually see people who actually operated machinery. So when I actually saw the people here, you know, they actually had the scuba gear. I was, oh yeah, they kind of went back to that. That's not bad. But the comic, yeah, all right, me and Nate talked about this earlier. The stuff with the preacher, that was really well done. I thought that was pretty good. You know, how can you hold such a strong faith in, like, you know, Jesus Christ, when you have gods who actually show themselves, you know? It's kind of like, you know, which is the stronger bit of faith, you know, that which you can see or that which you don't see, have no proof of, but you simply believe it to be true. And, you know, I thought the potential story coming with the Silver Surfer and him looking to find, you know, this big power source that could feed Galactus for...
It's like he's being drawn to it by, like, a siren.
Yeah, and that last page where he's standing above Earth and you see him looking down on it and you see that big swirling coalescence of energy, that is an excellent fucking page. I mean, if there was a way to get this image without the text, that would be an excellent fucking poster.
Somebody, Spider-Lantern? Spider-Lantern, get on it.
That's right. I gotta give this book, I'm gonna give it 5.
Wow.
4 out of 5.
I think that's a first. I think that's a fucking first.
Sif and Thor doing something. Well, I mean, you could say it had been hinted at for years, but you actually got to see Thor and Sif naked. Like, yeah, getting it on. I don't want to restate everything that you said, but Dan, this was a good book, and there were a lot of reasons for it. So, yeah, I give it a 2 thumbs up. It's worth picking up.
All right, let's go to the outsider, the guy who doesn't read Marvel, who doesn't really necessarily have the biggest affection for Thor. Brandon, what did you think of The Mighty Thor number 1?
Almost the complete opposite of everything you both just said.
Oh, should I kick him now? Should I kick him?
Yes, Mike.
I will say that, first off, yes, the colors are really, really good. Really good. And every time I see Olivier's art, it blows me away. I love this guy. That being said, the scuba scene just didn't feel like the Thor that I wanted to read. I'm not, you know, a big Thor buff. I've only read maybe the first JMS trade and Siege. So there's my history. So I have this vision of a big brute that'll go down there and tackle anything. I don't want to see him in this gear, and it just takes away from the Thor that I always envisioned. And while the dialogue is very heavy, like everyone gets to say something in this issue, I didn't feel like it took away from the issue, but I thought there was a lot of talking and a lot of unnecessary talking. It wasn't bad, it's just unnecessary. And while I do like giant sea scorpions, the designs are good, the colors look great, and it looks great, period. I just don't like the idea of Thor underwater fighting.
Him fighting as frost giants?
I don't, yes, whatever. If it has to be, what is it, the Abominable Snowman, fine. I mean, I
that's
want
how you
Thor
can tell he's an outsider
swinging
of Marvel.
Something.
That's exactly how you can tell.
Let him hit something with his fist, his hammer.
Silver Surfer, and Silver Surfer is one of the more powerful entities in the Marvel Universe. So you're gonna get that in the next issue, hopefully.
Yeah, I don't.
And before we move on, I wanted to point out that that's another problem I had with this issue is that you start off giving me 2 to 3 pages on Galactus and the Silver Surfer, which, you know, is necessary for new readers. Seeing as this is a number one issue, but someone like me who has a background on at least these two characters, I know who these two people are. I don't want to see them in a Thor book, especially not a new number one. That's like bringing in Ra's al Ghul to the first Batman issue. It's not the right time. It's just not the right, or Jason Todd for that matter. You bring in Jason Todd into a Batman number one issue, it just doesn't make sense. And I mean, I get that it's going to be a huge battle of epic proportions, but it's just something I'm not interested in.
Wow, so what would you rate it out of 5?
Out of 5, 3. Definitely a 3, because the art is incredible.
All right, Debbie Downer. I think most of us look forward to seeing Thor and the Asgardians or Loki, because Loki's obviously going to, I mean, we didn't even talk about Loki and how basically the Asgardians are like, yeah, let him go down there. If he dies, we all win anyways, you know. Basically, like Loki doesn't remember his past self, but, you know, he wants to help his big brother Thor. So, you know, not much, again, we've all said we can say beautiful, beautiful, beautiful art. Me and Taser at least agree that the story was phenomenal, and we all, I think Taser and I, look forward to seeing Thor pummeling Silver Surfer with Mjolnir.
I'm looking forward to a good fight. I'm not picking sides.
All right. So that's that positive review. So, but real quick, I still am really interested to see how the average, like not necessarily Wes, who knows about Silver Surfer and Galactus and Thor, a little bit of Thor, but the person who saw Thor the movie and goes to pick this up. I want their perspective to see what they think. Granted, not all of them are going to be the same, but I'm interested to hear the opinion. So if whoever's listening to the show, all three of y'all, if you know somebody, tell them, hey, tell them to send us our opinion at thewarriorstory@gmail.com. So let's move on to individual reviews. I went with Avengers 12.1, and the only reason I even this is one of Marvel's 0.1 issues, and the only reason I bought this is because Bendis on other podcasts and interviews, and you know, it's like, buy Avengers 12.1. Even other people who worked with him, buy Avengers 12.1. So I figured I'd pick it up. It's 31 pages of Brian Hitchhart, which is already a steal as it is. Plus you get the hype was that it's going to set up the next sort of series of Avengers stories that we're going to get later in the year. So basically the story is, in short sequence, Jessica Drew, who's also an agent of S.W.O.R.D., goes to find look for an unknown alien source, I think it was supposed to be. She gets captured by the Intelligentsia, who last time we saw them was in the World War Hulk storyline, which was about a year ago. And then, of course, the Avengers, they realize they have to go save her. They save her, kick-ass, and the Jessica Drew and Intelligentsia eventually found that it was a space knight. Not necessarily Rom the space knight, but a space knight. It turns out it was more than just a space knight. Ultron's back. That was sort of the big reveal at it, and you know, you kind of get this. If you look at one panel, there's this all red thing. You kind of see the face of Ultron, and it's hard to tell if you're not paying attention or if you don't know who Ultron is. You won't get it, and then you just see this huge spread of, and then the little word balloon of it just says Ultron's back. That's it, and Thor basically smacking Ultron across the face with his hammer. And Ultron basically says, I can't beat you now. I'm going to go away, and then I'm going to come back and kick your ass. And basically, Tony winding up to the fetal position, it's over. Game over, man. Game over. We're done, man. Basically, this is what he was doing. So that has me excited. So I give this a 5 out of 5. This is, you know, for $2.99, you can't bitch. All you people who want $2.99, I hope you bought the shit out of this comic. So great Brian Hitch art. Some panels I could, come on. But, you know, you got Jessica Drew naked. Again, that's not a bad thing. Plus, Spider-Man once again has the best one-liner when Steve asks who else is a clandestine secret organization, and Peter says, I'm a level 39 elf in World of Warcraft. It's like, what is that supposed to mean? Because Steve apparently doesn't get it, which I thought was funny. So,
I just want to say that that page right after Ultron makes that big stand, it's like Ultron is back, that very next page where you see he's fucked everybody up.
Yeah. Yeah. For those of you don't Ultron is one of the Ultron is one of the more pivotal sentimental favorites Avengers villains. And the scary thing about Ultron, at least what they recently done with him, is that the fact he can really never go away. He's artificial intelligence now, and you can't really get rid of artificial intelligence and sort of how he can jump from anything to anything in a way. So,
if you're a fan of DC, think Cyborg Superman, except Cyborg Superman actually was a living being.
And more badass.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
Ultron's much more badass than Cyborg Superman. So yeah, pick. I mean, it's a done in one story. While it does lead to the next cup, but I'm pretty sure we're not going to see this for a while. If you want a good done in one story, this is it. 5 out of 5. Brandon, you are keeping up with the collision storyline with Doc and X-23, and you're going with X-23 number 9. Give us another.
Yes. Collision Part 3, written by Marjorie Liu, with art by Ryan Stegman. Great art. I had never seen Ryan's art before, and I thought it was such a great style for this book. I'm not even sure he's the ongoing artist for this book, but I thought he did Laura very, very well. There's a page where it's just a panel of her eyes She's trapped in this coffin, and it's just amazing. And it's eyes. Like, how amazing can eyes be? It's amazing. That being said, this storyline is such a disappointment. I was so excited to see Dokken versus X-23 again. But apparently, Marjorie and Daniel Wei haven't, you know, figured out Dokken's motives and all this, because he just seems as useless as ever. He comes in, he messes things up, and goes away with no reason at all. And I think it led to a good couple of moments between Laura and Colcord, but I mean, it wasn't worth it. There's a lot of plot holes in this, and the sentimental moments between Tiger and Gambit just don't work. And when you get to the end of the issue and you see Dokken and X-23 ready to tear up the whole building for trying to make a new Weapon X program, you realize, and you see creatures coming out of walls and stuff, it's such a random storyline that my expectations for this has just plummeted, and now I'm just hoping I get some good art out of this and that Dokken is done with Laura for the next couple of years, because I have been very, very jaded now. It's a very depressing storyline, because my expectations were extremely high. This book has done nothing to make me want to read X-23 ongoing, and which is a shame, because I hear it's usually fantastic. But no, they definitely failed on that account. So I guess if we're giving it out of 5, X-23 number 9 gets a 2.
Interesting. Has Wolverine himself shown up yet?
He has not, but every other sentence out of Dokken's mouth is "Don't mention Wolverine." So
he's back. I mean, come on. He's how many parts does this crossover? 4, 5, 6?
It should be 5 total. I think Dokken ends it with 9, and then there may be some aftermath in X-23.
All right, so expect Wolverine to show up eventually, pretty soon. Come on, he has to. It's his kids fighting.
Well, I think that's one of the reasons why my expectations were high, is that you got these two characters that are not technically his children, but
Dokken technically is his son. I mean, he had sex with a woman and he came out. X-23 is a clone, so technically he's not his daughter.
Yeah, they had this very awkward conversation about is she Dokken's aunt and all. It's very, very horrible thing these people go through, the three of them. But no, I thought the appealing part of this was that Wolverine isn't in it, and it led these two characters to stand, like, there's no Romulus pulling strings here. It's just Dokken and Laura, and apparently they can't sustain a storyline together.
All right, let me know if Omega Red shows up. Taser, you are going with
Thunder FF2.
FF number 2. Take it away.
I just want to ask this one question. If Wolverine ever did have sex with X-23, would it be incest or masturbation?
Oh, clearly both.
Oh, no, it can't be incest, though.
How is it not incest? They share the same DNA.
Well, that would be his sister.
Yeah, but it's his DNA. It's not.
Yeah, well, twins share identical DNA.
It's so creepy. I don't want to think about it.
It is creepy.
He's like 5 foot, 4 foot five, hairy, short. I mean,
you can't attack the man for how he looks.
I totally can. He's Canadian.
Okay. Anyway, FF2 basically picks up right where the first one ended, where Doom makes his appearance. And of course, Ben is justifiably up in arms that Doom would show up, and apparently he has Reed's leave to be there. Apparently the game plan is Reed feels that he has to help Doom regain his higher brain functions, because he's been locked out and he can't use his smarts or his magic. So we have to take and go help Doom, because I haven't seen any justification for why this needs to be done. But regardless, this is the game plan and Reed's behind it 100%. Ben is not happy. Ben is about to. Ben wants to go at Doom. Reed. Sue stops them both, and then proceeds to leave with Ben and Dragon Man. I'm still, you know, when the hell did Dragon Man get intelligence? Somebody send me a message on when this happened, or if this is the original Dragon Man, because I don't remember this. And he's here. He wears reading glasses now, and he speaks like Beast. But I digress. They come up with a plan. Well, it's Valeria who comes up with the plan that they need a copy of Doom's brain. And let's see, who do we have who has a copy? You know, doesn't this sound like what Iron Man went through? You know, think about it.
A little bit.
They figure out that they need to go get Kristoff. And I think it's interesting that Kristoff aged a hell of a lot faster than the Richards kids. You know, I mean, Brandon Franklin kind of went up and down and up and down, but Kristoff went from being about tweenish to being about 20, you know, and most other kids, even the Power Pack kids, didn't get that. Anyway, they go to Latveria. Kristoff is, of course, my master, I will help you. And they come up with some chair thing that they both have to sit in, and lickety split, boom, boom, boom. They're both then strapped in, and it's time to hit the button. And there's two buttons. What was it? Purge and transfer. And Reed lingers over Purge. And his father looks at him. Spider-Man looks at him. And even though I know, and you know exactly what's going to happen, he naturally hits transfer. Really? You don't take this motherfucker out? This is the chance. He's a douche. But anyway, Doom gets his brains back, and, oh, look, I'm seemingly power, and, oh, my science is restored, blah, blah, blah. Now that I'm back and I'm in tip-top shape, now it's time for him to fulfill his independent contract, which he apparently made with Valeria. And that deal apparently meant that her and him have to take down Reed Richards. Okay. Yeah, I still don't get why Reed had to... Why Doom needed to be helped. I get why he needed help. I don't get why he needed to be helped. Screw him. This man is one of the biggest douches in comics. He's betrayed everybody at some point or other. Even those trying to help him, fuck him. You know, freaking Purge. That would have been it. I'd have been a happy FF reader. But, you know, they can't do that because, well, comics are stupid like that. And,
you're stupid.
I am, because I read this. I was disappointed, you know. I kind of figured something like this was going to happen. You know, with the whole, you know, flipping the script on Reed, but just, he's right there, pull the fucking trigger, man. And I will say that there was an interesting conversation piece with Ben, Sue, and Dragon Man, you know, when they left because Grimm couldn't stand it. You know, having Doom there was just like, no freaking way, I'm out of here. Sue went with them, and Dragon Man followed the tweet, and they were having a bit of back and forth, and it was an interesting conversation. Overall, though, I was really bothered by... I knew it was going to happen, but it really bothered me. It really bothered me that Doom made out like a bandit. So, solid story, but it pissed me off. I'm going to give this book a 3.2 Warriors out of 5. Fuck Doom. Man, if you have a shot at his head, any shot at his head, you take it. Put his ass down. I can understand if you're freaking Superman. Yeah, you don't do that. But Reed Richards? Reed Richards isn't above taking somebody's life. I know he's a pussy. He's not above taking somebody's life. It's kind of retarded for him not to do that.
Not to mention lame.
Yes, very lame. Lame and retarded.
All right. So there you have it. We have two other quick comics since, that we really want to talk about. I'm not going to bitch about Amazing Spider-Man. I'll just say I am tired of, I want the FF out of Spider-Man. I'll leave it at that. But I'm going to go to another Spider-Man related book with Venom number 2. This issue, you really could just read this issue and be happy. I'm going to be honest with you. It's Flash Thompson Venom in the Savage Land fighting Kraven, who's gone crazy with jungle fever. Not literally, but he's like all crazy, and you know, he's crazy Kraven basically. And you had fun.
Crazy Kraven.
Exactly. You had great Tony fucking Moore. How is this guy not a superstar? It amazes me that this guy isn't a bigger name. You know, I know him because of his work from his from his work on Fear Agent and you know, all the other, and Walking Dead is probably the biggest thing he's known for. That first trade of Walking Dead, he co-created Walking Dead. You know, some of the sequences, it was just great. And Rick Remender just drawing, you know, I didn't like the Betty Brant stuff too much. You know, if I wasn't a big fan of that, but I did enjoy Venom. You know, Venom is a character who I never thought I would like, or like outside of original concept. Venom is a character who's been fucked over since at least, let's say, 1992.
So are you referring to this Venom Venom in general?
In general, the character, okay. Like Venom. In that, you know, he's been fucked over and he's been given to a wannabe and he's not with Eddie. But Remender is really taking this concept and driving it, not into the ground, but driving it in a way that finally Venom is cool again. You know, not necessarily in the old school McFarlane way, but in its own unique way by putting him in a different situation. There's nothing better to me than putting a character, especially not only Flash Thompson, but the Venom powers itself, in a different environment against different people. Plus, you have the continuing thread of somebody trying to steal, I guess, something vibranium. It's not vibranium, it's something related. And Jack-O-Lantern is apparently going to play a bigger role in the coming issues. And Tom Fowler is going to be coming out for issue 3. But this issue, Remender, you've done it again. And that cover is awesome. The cover that's after a Todd McFarlane piece. So I'll leave it at that. I gave it a, it wasn't the best comic I read, but it was pure fun. If you like fun, read Venom. I never thought I would say that. Again, 4 out of 5.
You're
Venom.
About the new Venom, right?
The new Venom. The new Venom.
So wait a minute. Quick question: Does Jack-O-Lantern have his new jaw? Because
No. They show him fucked up. Like it looks like he had surgery.
Okay, kick ass.
So you know, Tony, somebody's paying attention to continuity. If you're not reading Venom, you're effing retarded. So Taser, you have an update, a finale to tell us about a '90s character. Please tell me, fucking Thunderstrike is dead.
No.
God damn it.
I like this book, and it actually was kind of a decent ending. Thunderstrike 5 out of 5. That's not the rating. I'm just saying it was the fifth one out of a 5-issue story. Basically, we catch up to them where it left off last time, where everybody's in the fight with Mangok. Mangok, look, I have 3 fingers, and I have horns, and I'm ugly looking, and blah, blah, blah. They can't do much because Mangok is basically 4-plus class, and I don't know, if I remember correctly, I think the kid Thunderstrike was actually the strongest one there. they get swatted around, bitch smacked, you know, made to look like tools, and things don't change until Thor shows up. It's funny because Steve Rogers, you know, Steve Rogers being in command of so much stuff has really turned him into a dick, you know, and I would have given him a lot of credit, a lot of slack during the Civil War days, but here, because he's in charge, it's like, okay, it's basically his way of the highway. And this kid does something I give him a lot of credit for. He went, oh, yeah, you know what? Since I'm not an Avenger, screw you. I'm in this. They, you know, Thor shows up. They take it to him, and Thor, you know, gets swatted around some more. Then Iron Man shows up, and he, you know, does kind of one of the old classic things where he digs into the ground, pulls up this giant monster power cable, sucks it all in, and wah! That drops him. Then, you know, it's like, okay, some dialogue, and you know, they got to figure out exactly what to do with the thing. And Thor comes up with the whole, hey, I can banish him. I know a dimension I can dump him in. So I've seen Thor do this before. But for whatever freaking reason, Thor needed Brunhilde and Thunderstrike to take their positions, you know, and I guess it's
kind Care of... Care Bear Stare.
Yeah. they have to take points around him, so you see this triangle effect, and, you know, it opens up a portal, and, you know, he's being sucked through, and he's like, you cannot get rid of me because I am powered by hate, and hate is all-powerful, and hate is hate, and I am powered, blah, 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 blah.
Fear leads to anger, anger leads to hate.
Seriously, and the kid sees Mangog resisting the pull, you know, and he has that moment of clarity that he finally gets why his father sacrificed himself the way he did, which he didn't get before. And he does the same thing. He goes and, you know, clunks him right in the head, which knocks him through, but the kid goes through as well. And, of course, he gets saved by Thor, who throws Mjolnir through and, you know, knocks him out. And, hey, you did a good thing. Well, you had your moment, kid. Hey, let me tussle your hair and give you a chin music. Yeah, son of a gun. Thunderstrike, you know, he has some words for Thor. And Thor humbles himself in front of him, and he's like, oh, I didn't know you did that. Maybe I'm not entirely right about you. He ends up going to see his stepfather, that football player guy, and his mom in the hospital, and you know, some of the other people that were in his new school, they were there, and it's like, oh, yeah. And it finishes with the kid and Grunhild going after Rhino, who got away from, well, actually kicked his tail in, you know, in the early part of the series. Overall, I like this book, you know. I'm digging the new look. You know, this look works. The character, he's a dick, but he has issues which kind of, I don't want to say justify, but I can understand a bit why he's a dick. I would probably read, you know, I don't know if I'd read this as a monthly, but if he was put on a team book, you know, like say, shit, why not?
The Defenders.
Young Warriors. Nah, well, hell no. Defenders, you get cream. But if put him on Young Avengers. Why not? Yeah, I'd do that. Young Avengers or, what was it, the Young Allies? Yeah, put him on a team book. And I think that he'd be a lot of fun, you know? He's still young. He's, you know, he's not even, I don't think he's even 16 yet. There's a lot you can do with him. And you know, just seeing him take and, you know, talk back to Steve Rogers, who's a dick nowadays, I swear. That did my heart good. So I'm going to give this book. And you know, it was okay art. Who was it? Friends and DeFalco. Ron Friends has generally turned out quality product for years. You know, I love his stuff. You know, he had a great Thor run. I'll give this like a, I'll say a 4.1 Warriors out of 5.
All right. Well, we're running a little late, which I didn't expect to, but so we're going to do this real quick. Our versus of the week, our pick, Magneto versus Taser's chosen the opponent, Graviton. Obviously, Magneto, the master of magnetism, who, you know, I don't think he can not only, he can shift the magnetic poles of the Earth. That's all I have to say. Magneto wins.
Yeah, Graviton actually bends light. All right.
I'm still going to go with the master of magnetism. Yeah.
Somebody who, nah, screw that. Somebody who can, you know, basically have the gravitational pull of a black hole. Let's see. Let me form a little pinpoint black hole effect.
Is Graviton that trained with his powers? Because Magneto is the fucking master of magnetism. It's retarded how good he is.
Okay. Graviton did this back in the 90s. You know?
Oh, but that doesn't count in my book. You know that.
Okay. Graviton was doing similar stuff even before then. You know, Graviton's a beast, which is why they don't use him that much. Think about that. Really powerful people, unless, you know, they try to get as much mileage as possible, and even then, you know, it's questionable. Like Thanos. Thanos is a guy that, you know, basically, you know, walks around and he's smacking people left and right, but after a while, you got to give him a rest. Graviton is somebody who's like, yeah. You know, like, oh, he's somebody we got to call in reserves for. Same thing with, like, Count Nefaria. Well, Count Nefaria, they actually revisited and gave a lot of revisions to, but he was basically Superman. I mean, you know, the dude took, like, he palmed Mjolnir after Thor threw it. Palmed it. You know, what do you say? So, yeah, Graviton being able to bend light and basically having the power of the gravitational power of a black hole. He's bending light. This is not a fight. This is a crush. Literally. Max is crushed.
All right, because I know Brandon, I know who you're going to pick. Pick the fucking Master of Magnetism.
It's definitely the Master of Magnetism.
There you go.
If I had... Brandon, remember, I don't want to mess this up because, you know, I'm not a Marvel junkie, but I'm pretty sure Magneto lifted a freaking city. And if you can do that, you can pretty much just crush anything. So imagine New York just rising high above your head.
Yeah.
And falling down on your head.
And what's to stop him from stopping that from happening?
You can't stop him.
Yes, you can.
He'll surround himself in an impenetrable field of metal that you won't be able to get through.
Yeah, and then he takes and Graviton causes it to collapse into himself with an intense gravitational pull, a reverse pull.
By the time Graviton thinks of what to do, he'll have half of New York City over his head.
Look, first of all, both of you are wrong. Second of all, actually, I think Graviton is, you know, kind of uncensored right now. I think they keep his ass. If they have to keep you drugged, that says a whole lot right there. And I think they have to do that with him. I'm sorry. Graviton for the motherfucking win. There you go.
All right. But still, no matter what, 2-1, the Master of Magnetism wins. So next week's matchup, what's it going to be? It's going to be...
name recognition. That's why he won. I'm saying it.
The Red Ghost versus the Leader.
Yeah.
There you go.
Are we
now,
talking intelligence or a straight-up fight?
Well, we'll get into that next week. We'll set this down real. But that's the I wanted to go red versus green here. I could have gone Red Hulk versus Green Hulk, but that's too obvious. Let's go. We're going to next week, Red Ghost versus the Leader. Now, a couple of quick announcements. Coming soon, I don't know if any of you Marvel fans are aware of this, but we are coming upon the 5th year anniversary of the beginning of Civil War, where it started. You know, I can't believe it's been 5 long years. So basically, we won't do this until every one of the original Warriors 3, not Seamus, but the guys who have been here more recently, Arnold and Brian, Punk Bitch Brian, we will discuss Civil War, a story, the ramifications, the tie-ins. We're going to go through it. So we're going to, it's not going to be a special. It's going to be within this an episode. We don't know when we're going to do it. Hopefully, we'll be able to do it soon. Also, another thing to look forward to, 10 years later, is it time to bring Jean Grey back? So we're going to look into that hopefully sometime soon. If you have any inquiries of any other things we should do, any other suggestions, please contact us at thewarriors3@gmail.com. Twitter.com/Warriors3PCast. Of course, you know, join the GreenLanternCorps.com. Otherwise, you're a damn retard. Taser, what Asian woman would you like to plug this week?
All of them under 50 years old.
All right. Brandon, do you have anything to plug this week?
No. All you non-retards, go to thegreenlanternCorps.com or check us out on Twitter at twitter.com/theGLCorps.
All right. And ladies and gentlemen, that does it for episode number 63 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. Despite next week being Mother's Day, there still will be an episode. It'll come a day later, but we're still going to do it. We're not going to take 2 weeks off like I did this time. So ladies and gentlemen, tune in next week for episode number 64, as our book of the week will be Fear Itself number 2. Let's kick it off. Have a good night, guys.
Yeah.